Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Who's being naive?
We know a couple of people that are personally responsible for the death of, what, 50,000 non-military personnel? Librarians, teachers, doctors, women, children, all dead. We've wiped out entire cultures.
And for what? You guys think you're above the law. You ain't above the line.
Nico, we don't have time for this. Get in the dadgum car.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Oh.
Okay, let's move on to our sixth area of judicial review. We're going to be turning now to the 11th Amendment. What does the 11th Amendment say? It says a state cannot be sued in federal court by its own citizens, by citizens of another state, or by citizens of a foreign country without consent. A state cannot be sued in federal court. Number one, by its own citizens. Number two, by citizens of another state. Or number three, by citizens of a foreign country without consent. Now, the 11th Amendment does not bar suits against municipalities, against cities, against counties, against local school boards, or other local agencies in federal court. It does not apply to those areas. Nor does it bar one state from suing another state, nor does it bar the federal government from suing a state. So the rule, once again, the states are immune from suit in federal court unless they consent. The states are immune from suit in federal court absent waiver by the state. Now, as an exception, you should know that state officials can be sued. You can't sue the state itself, but state officials can be sued for damages or injunctive relief dealing with federal law violations. State officials may be sued either for damages or injunction for federal law violations. Now, over the last decade or so, the 11th Amendment has changed somewhat. I used to say in the lecture that the 11th Amendment was generally a wrong answer, but the law has changed enough that that's really not a very good response to look at 11th Amendment and say it's a wrong answer. Today, the state immunity of the 11th Amendment, the state immunity conferred by the 11th Amendment applies not only to federal question suits, but to diversity suits as well. It applies in federal question suits as well as diversity suits. And I want to go over with you a couple of recent major cases. First is the Seminole Tribe of Florida, the Seminole Indian Tribe of Florida versus Florida. There was a federal law passed to regulate gambling activities of Indian tribes. And under the law, the tribe was provided by Congress with a right to sue the state in federal court if the tribe felt the state was not acting in good faith. What did the Supreme Court say about this? It held this law unconstitutional. It said the 11th Amendment restricts the judicial power under Article 3 and Congress acting under Article 1, what power would that be? It would be Congress's commerce power to regulate commerce with Indian tribes. Congress under Article 1 cannot circumvent the constitutional limitations embodied by the 11th Amendment. So this federal law authorizing the tribe to sue the state in federal court was struck down. The significance of this case is that federal power is far less extensive than had previously been thought. To give you a quote from Professor Tribe regarding the U.S. Supreme Court direction today, he says, quote, "The court's current dedication to a states' rights doctrine seems to be a rather free-floating cloud that can rain on almost any source of congressional power." And to affirm this same theme, let me give you a case from the year 2000. This is Kimmel versus Florida Board of Regents. Supreme Court held that state workers alleging age discrimination may not sue their employers in federal court under the Federal Age Discrimination in Employment Act. State workers who allege age discrimination may not sue their employers in federal court because Congress lacks the power to override state immunity under the 11th Amendment. Congress lacked the power to override the state's 11th Amendment immunity from federal lawsuits. So this is the new direction today to apply dealing with the 11th Amendment. It has more teeth than it used to. It is a stronger basis of state immunity than it has been in the past. Strict scrutiny applies to the following areas. It applies to protected First Amendment rights, protected First Amendment rights. It applies to suspect classes. And there are three suspect classes. I'll give you a mnemonic for them. The word is RAN, R-A-N. R stands for race. A stands for alienage. And please put an asterisk by alienage because it's not always suspect. We'll get to that in a little bit. And the N stands for national origin. So strict scrutiny applies to suspect classes, race, alienage with an asterisk, national origin. Strict scrutiny also applies to your fundamental rights, which we just discussed. Right to vote, right to travel, right to privacy. And under right to privacy, the mnemonic CAMPER. Contraception, abortion, marriage, procreation, private education, family relations. So that is strict scrutiny subject matter. Make sure you memorize it and understand that strict scrutiny applies only to those areas. Now, how do you determine if a class is suspect? A class is suspect if it is, number one, determined by characteristics which are unalterable. Determined by characteristics which are unalterable. And, number two, there must be a history of purposely unequal treatment. Characteristics, unalterable, and a history of purposely unequal treatment. Now, under strict scrutiny, the burden of production under strict scrutiny is on the state to show that the law is necessary to achieve a compelling state interest. Necessary to a compelling state interest. The key element in this test is the word necessary. In order for a law to be necessary, that means that there is no less restrictive alternative means available. Because if there is an alternative means available, then that law is not necessary. So this is a very difficult test for the state to pass. It is very hard for the state to show that the law is necessary to a compelling interest. In other words, there's no other way for the state to accomplish its purpose other than by passing this law. Okay, the next and last area of retroactive legislation is a bill of attainder. Bill of attainder is defined as legislative punishment. Legislative punishment of a named group or individual without judicial trial. Now, by punishment, what we mean here is taking away a license, a commercial license, taking away someone's job, their employment. There was a recent question where a state insurance agent had been very critical of a new law that had been passed by the state legislature, and because she was so critical of the state legislature decided to pass a law that said, the state insurance license of Miss Jane Doe is henceforth revoked. That is legislative punishment, taking away her license, of a named individual without judicial trial. So hopefully, if you're tested on Bill of Attainder, it should jump right out at you and you'll know it when you see it. And by the way, a Bill of Attainder is unconstitutional. Such legislative punishment is unconstitutional.
Welcome, everybody, to the Greg Doss Show. I'm your host, Greg Doss, and I will be joined just momentarily by Ms. Shani. And let me go ahead and get the formalities out of the way. We're brought to you by themanmindset.com and, of course, gregdoss.com. You come on. We're here every Wednesday night live at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have to issue this disclaimer just in the event that there are some new listeners, and we definitely appreciate you. First of all, I'm not an attorney. I do not practice law or give legal advice. I, as any of you can and should, study law and tell people what I've learned and how I've gathered the information. I do not give any information as advice to apply to a specific case, but as general information regarding the law, which, by the way, belongs to the people. Now, please use the information for educational purposes only. And with that being said, I don't know what education that you would acquire that you would not hope sometime or someday to use. If I have a book to recommend, I would tell you to grab a copy of Raw Law by Muhammad Ibn Bashir, and this book gives wonderful insight into the world of the criminal justice system. And in addition, I ask you to acquire the book I Future Down, But When You're Going to Get Up by my man Sean McDowell, and that book's available on Amazon.com, Trafford.com, and the Barnes & Noble, and I know Audiobook.com. If you purchase that book as well as On Black on Black Love by my man Life Malcolm, which is a collection of poems and the stories that inspired him. If you purchase any of those and you let the people at Greg Doss Document Production and Self-Help Service know, you receive 15% off of any services that you may utilize. And again, you can go to gregdoss.com, and when you get there, you see Greg Doss Document Preparation and Self-Help Service, providing affordable health to get you through life's obstacles. And, of course, our goal is to help people resolve their apprehension with facing the courts, regardless of the nature of the issue. And our coaching and confidence building will help change the perception most people have of the court system, and not just the court system, but any endeavor you may be pursuing. We will hopefully teach, inspire, and motivate each client to gain a better understanding, or really an overstanding, of what they can expect when they are called into court. And with that being said, Shani, let me make sure I let everybody out here know also that for those of you who thought about standing up for yourselves but then thought about what you think might be the better option, maybe some of this information will inspire you to take control of your life. And if you know people who may need a kickstart, just send them to gregdoss.com. How are you doing today, Shani?
Oh, I'm just one day or 1 year older, and happy birthday, man. Happy birthday. Yes, I was going to even say it online. Happy birthday, Greg.
I appreciate that, but I'd never be so narcissistic to think that a birthday, at least in my case, that I should celebrate my birthday. If anything, I like to thank my parents, because it was their action that brought about the date of my being born. And mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of having two of what I would consider the greatest parents in the world, and any mistake that I made through my own doing, and any bad decision I made was through my own doing, not because of something that my parents did not provide me, at least if not the ability to come and ask them first, but if I could ask them second, third, fourth, and to this day, fifth, and so on and so forth. I appreciate everything that they've given me, to include the will to fight for nobody else, me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I thank my mother and my father for creating the opportunity for me to make this world a better place. And if that doesn't happen, it has nothing to do with them. They've provided me with more than enough. So, Shawnee, mm-hmm. tell everybody what you do before we get started with the show.
Yes, sir, and everybody did need to hear that. So I commend you, because we do need to hear more men saying stuff like that. But here on the Alpha Syndicate on Monday afternoons, I have a midday thing that I midday mix. You know, both of us come from music background, and I love music. So on Monday afternoons, you'll hear my mix here at the Alpha Syndicate. Then on Tuesday nights, of course, it's Dia and myself at the Gumbo Cafe, which is 11 Eastern, 10 Central. Of course, on the Steve the Dean Williams Show, The Man Mindset, which is promptly before yours, or, you know, 2 hours before yours. And for those women who are interested, if we do have female listeners, check out womanhewants.com, where I post blogs and other things pertaining to female issues. And finally, if you're interested in writing a book, visit, what is it, mayhousepress.com. And we have some specials going on right now, so just hit me up with that.
Hey, there we go. Listen, the call number for the show is 347-838-8420. Again, 347-838-8420. And we're going to cover on this portion of the Greg Dawe Show, and we've done this, I believe, a couple of times already, but I wanted to make sure I covered it because I've had people ask questions relative to what the state's ability to do certain things is based upon and whether or not they actually reach the standard. So we're going to go back over strict scrutiny, bills of attainder, and what wasn't necessarily discussed as much as standing, S-T-A-N-D-I-N-G, and, of course, the oath of office and non-immunity, and I believe he covered that when he talked about the 11th Amendment, whereas even though you may not, the citizens of a state or another state may not be able to sue a state, but anyone with an official capacity can be sued, as well as municipalities, townships, and what have you. So with that being said, we'll get ready to get started. Is there any questions, Shawnee, that you may have for me before I get started relative to any of the subject matter that I've already covered?
I mean, I know that you deal with a lot of things that pertain to court system, but I eventually, one day, I want to pull you aside and ask you in regards to consumer rights, because there's a lot of people that are coming across things where companies and credit card companies and banks, especially banks, are just dragging people under the bus, and we don't know all of our rights as consumers. So maybe we could do a show on it, or if you have studied any information in regards to it, so we could point people in the right direction. But it's stuff dealing with consumer rights when it comes to purchasing items and returning items or any of that, when we go shopping into a store. I mean, when we go to a store to go shopping, stuff like that.
If you have a specific question before we get started with the subject matter, and I tell everybody, 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420, you could probably ask. And everybody, if you haven't already, guys, please go get pen, paper, whatever. And don't be bashful when you call in. If you want to ask a question, please press the number one. And again, it's not legal advice. We'll try to get you pointed in the right direction. But was there a question in particular, Shawnee, or just in general?
In general, but I think one of the things that a lot of us are dealing with are these fees, all these fees that we're having to pay banks. And, you know, with return checks or balance checks, $34, using different ATM machines, $2.50. Even when you go paperless, they're still charging you $5 so that you can't go paperless. and why are they getting away with all these fees that are being presented to us, and we just accept it?
Well, part of it is a contract issue, but I definitely just let me know, and we'll try to prepare a show for that. So I actually understand many of your questions. Listen, people, mm-hmm. let's get into this issue of strict scrutiny. And for those of you who heard the gentleman speaking, that is from the PNBR, which is the bar review, you heard him talk about the standard, speaker discuss the standard necessary for the state to be able to impose an action against you. Now, before I get a little further into that, let me speak about this issue called standing. Most of the guys that come to us have a child support and a court-related issue. And one thing I would tell guys, and I'm looking this up, and there you go. And I'm going to speak specifically to the state of Florida for this, but in most cases it's going to be the same thing. As it comes to strict scrutiny, if the state is bringing an action to you, as in any case, whether civil or criminal, any action brought against you, the person or the entity bringing it has to have proper standing. And they're generally, whether the case is civil or criminal, it's always the same. There has to be an injury, meaning somebody had to be harmed, whether it's physical or financial, some causation, meaning some action that did it, and whether or not there's a redressability relative to that action. Now, causation consists of two distinct elements, and as legal scholars have recognized, before a defendant can be convicted of a crime that includes an element of causation, the state must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's conduct was, one, the cause in fact, two, the legal cause or the proximate cause of the relevant harm. In order to establish that a defendant's conduct was the cause and effect of a particular harm, the state usually must demonstrate that but for the defendant's conduct, the harm would not have occurred, and that's the Everly versus State holding in the state of Florida. And quite simply, if you all want to find out where to go find holding, and again, it's not legal advice, this is just case law, it's your research, go into what's called the annotated statutes for your state. And you go into the annotated statutes and find the proper case law, and you can utilize the case law to buoy whatever constitutional argument you may raise, especially if that constitutional argument is raised against the statute. Because once the Constitution is applied to the statute, then the burden then shifts from the defendant to the state to prove that the statute is not unconstitutional. Because as you apply the Constitution to the statute, it's presumed that that statute is unconstitutional, and it doesn't matter what the area may be. Any questions on that so far, Sean? Is anybody on the – I'm not on the board yet. And by the way, people, if you call in and you may have a question, just press the number 1, and then Sean will bring you in. And I hope that I was clear in that explanation of what you actually have to have before anything can take place. And again, that's whether it's civil or whether it's criminal. The party bringing the action against you has to have standing. And if you don't know who's bringing the action against you, ask.
Okay, my question is, what are, you gave three bullets or something like that to what standing is. What are those three standing? Or four? You gave a couple of them, actually.
As to what's necessary for standing, well, it's just,
yes.
It has to be somebody harmed, an injury. Meaning,
okay.
What happened, to whom did it happen? That's the injury. And then the causation, meaning, and there's a mens res standard, which is a criminal mind if it's a criminal issue, or if it's civil, just the causation, what did you do to cause the harm, and whether or not there's some level of redressability. And redressability meaning is there something that you can recoup or to compensate for the injury, whether it's in a criminal case, generally it's going to end up being some sort of time incarcerated or, I mean, even if you're not physically contained within a 6.9 or whatever the dimensions are of the box that they put you in, some sort of confinement. And don't forget that you can't lose rights unless you've been duly convicted. And people should always keep that in mind when you get ready to give up without a fight. But again, it's injury, causation, and redressability. And I'll just go over it again. The holding of the Everly versus State for Florida, 1999, was causation consists of two distinct sub-elements. and as the legal scholars have recognized, before a defendant can be convicted of a crime that includes an element of causation, the state must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's conduct was, one, the cause in fact, and that the cause in fact of the injury, the legal cause or the proximate cause of the relevant harm, and of course, the redressability means what can happen from that. And generally, the redressability comes through statutes mandating what the punishments may be. In order to establish that a defendant's conduct was the cause in fact of a particular harm, the state usually must demonstrate that but for what the defendant did to the defendant's conduct, the harm would not have occurred. And granted, there's always going to be a thousand different ways that these things can be applied because there's probably going to be case law on the other side. But then that's when the situation may get to the point where a jury may be the determiner of whether or not the causation has validity. And don't forget, people, that once a jury steps into it, then the judge's decision, at least at the state level, the judge's power, control it totally, then goes away. Once the jury makes the decision, the jury essentially keeps the judge's power in check. And Thomas Jefferson had a quote, and I'll try to grab it later on for you all. But those are essentially the distinct necessities for showing that there has standing. And in many cases, people, Shani, don't do anything to make the court show standing, or even the state attorney. And might be surprised to find out that the state attorney may not be actually representing the state, which is why you should pretty much want to challenge anything. Even if you have an attorney, which we won't get into what the attorney situation is, but we'll just say if you have an attorney, don't forget that it's a, never forget that it's your case. He's your attorney, but ultimately he's your case, and all he does is represent you, although many of you think he represents you. He represents you to the court. And don't, and as I said before, let's not forget that the English language consists of base words, prefixes, and suffixes. And depending upon how that word is pronounced and or understood or overstood, it may have a different connotation. So just make sure that you, or ensure that you have comprehension on what the situation is. But as I was saying before, if you don't know who it is that's bringing you in, ask, especially if it's a criminal case, because if you go to the Sixth Amendment, it gives you the right to speedy trial and the ability to confront witnesses. Unless, of course, you waive it, which I would never recommend people doing that. And that, of course, don't take my word for anything. But go to the Sixth Amendment, and you'll find that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state. That's very important, impartial. And district wherein the crime shall have been committed, what district shall have previously ascertained by law and to be informed of the nature of the cause of the accusation. Meaning, if somebody brings you into a venue, excuse me, and wants to charge you with the crime, you have the right to say, well, who is it that's bringing me in here, and what is it that I've done? And you have the right to obtain witnesses in your favor, and you have the right to cross-examine them. And the Sixth Amendment, don't take my word for it, it can be found anywhere. If you want a copy of the Constitution of the United States, I'm pretty sure you can call the Secretary of State and send you one. There's a million different ways to get a copy of the Constitution of the United States as well as the Constitution for the United States of America. And they may have different applications depending upon who you may be. Any question on that one, Shani?
No, I'm just gathering notes and I'm thinking you need to put together a book. I'm just, you know.
I believe all the books.
No, you need a book for your listeners. I'm sitting here really taking notes and pulling up these websites and gathering as much information as I can, because while you're talking, I'm doing what secretaries do. I'm giving them what they need and taking notes.
And this is something that I'm not really aware of how to deliver this message to a lot of people, but I want to make sure that I'm clear and concise when I say this to you guys. If you believe, for some strange reason, that you can walk into any venue, particularly a venue where your life or your property is at stake, or your liberty in case is at stake, and do no preparation, you're going to get a successful of your
Your phone is going in and out, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, if you please that you can come in, you unprepared, and reach a successful end, you're out of your mind. Generally, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because even the best prepared, best trained people cannot necessarily get, may not necessarily get a favorable outcome. But it's what do you do when the outcome is not favorable, and find, and then you have to discover why, or find out why the outcome was not favorable. So hopefully I'm staying, it's probably in a bad location. But I think that sometimes because of the way it ends, maybe my fault, I doubt it, but the way that I deliver the message, it may come across as being easy or just something that anybody can grasp. And I don't want
right.
to sound bold or overconfident or arrogant or any of these things I may have been called. But a lot of time, effort, and work has gone into gathering information. Personally, I am pretty slow. The thing that helped me learn was my humility. And we had my teacher on the last week or the week before when he came in, Brother Bay, Sundiata. And in order for me to be able to make gains when I was, you know, for the most part, meeting lack of success or no success at all, I had to, one, come to grips with what I didn't know. And for men, in many cases, our pride, which is false in most cases, will keep us from wanting to listen to another man. And that could be because of conditioning, because you've been taught to work in it, to think inversely, because mm-hmm. most guys have been raised by mothers. So a man can't tell me anything, but you'll run to a woman to tell you something. And if you have any consciousness
too, I think, Greg, is that you also, and for some of the people that are listening, is day one with wanting to gather the information like you were once at day one. And when you're able to relay it to them when they were in day one, then they could get it. If you slow it down a little bit, then I'm sure everybody can catch it. Just a little.
Slow it down.
You're so passionate about it, dude, and I can hear your passion, and I understand how you talk. A lot of other people don't get it. So.
Well, one thing is this is a man's walk. And whether or not you're, and I don't know how articulate I may sound, but one thing is I would never want to, I'll give the analogy that hopefully a lot of guys will recognize in sports, especially football. What makes the greatest athletes the greatest athletes has nothing to do with what makes the greatest football players necessarily. Because it's not just your athletic ability, it's how well you're prepared. Not just family law cases or civil issues. I go sit in the back of the courtroom and watch criminal trials or criminal procedures. Because it's just like watching game film, guys. If you're not busy, which I know most of us probably are, but if you have an hour or two or on a lunch break, just go sit in the back of a courtroom. You have the right to access a public place. Find out what goes on. If you have a traffic case coming up, quote-unquote traffic case, go sit in to traffic procedures, unless you hired or acquired counsel or representation, and find out how the procedures work and how they operate. And then find out if it is relative to your case, if the person bringing you in has proper standing, if the jurisdiction is proper, which is a very important word. I think we've gone over jurisdiction before. If we need to do it again, we can. Whether or not it's a valid cause of action, and whether or not the action in and of itself wasn't improper because it may have violated some tenet of the Constitution. And I can't make to be free. No one can. That's personal. Sister Harriet Tubman said, she freed hundreds of slaves. She said she could have freed many more if she had been able to convince them that they were slaves. And for whatever reason, that makes plenty of sense to me, because not because of me being me, but because of, one, having been doing this for a couple of years now, and two, in just general conversation with men, especially, Shawnee, a lot of the guys will resist the information because, unfortunately, we've been conditioned by the propaganda machine. It doesn't matter what the necessary nationality or hue to the skin is. Men tend to want to disregard information from men, and especially my Moorish or those brothers of African descent tend to not want to take information from another male. And that's not just my personal experience. I've heard from other guys. Well, if you want to learn, you have to be willing to learn. And unfortunately, a lot of this begins early because who is the primary teacher of the child? The first teacher is always going to be the mother. Barring some unforeseen circumstances, if they go into preschool, who are most of the preschool teachers? What's the gender?
Female.
The primary educational grade. What's the gender?
Female.
Okay. Let's give a scenario. If the voice that you hear at home is generally female, and one thing that we do, if we were being candid, recognize that even young boys tend to act out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
If they disregard the female or the voice that teaches them at home, what do they tend to do when they get into a so-called structured environment or in school?
They act out, and they also disregard the voice.
In an effort to help, quote unquote, help the boys be still to be miseducated, they will do what? Introduce them to some sort of psychotropic or mood altering drug or something else that would be a destimulant.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or give them a diagnosis of saying ADHD or ADD or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, well, ADD no longer exists. It's been replaced by ADHD because there's no drug that can make you pay attention. But the subsequent consequence is, especially when many of these males don't have a male at home to pattern themselves after, especially a male with a genetic correlation, then what do? They begin to reject the male influence. And once they get to a certain age and they've acquired a personality, then what you have is a antisocial and dysfunctional, he's not even going to grow into a man in most cases, and the first time that he comes in contact with the system, he's already been miseducated and ill-prepared to deal with life as a man. In The Godfather, Vito told Michael, he said, and I spent my life trying not to be careless. Women and children can be careless. Men can't be careless. There are, in most cases, no real second chances for men who err because the system lives off of the energy of the male. And that's not Greg Goff saying that. Open your eyes and do your research. In fact, I don't want anyone to ever believe what I say. Look it up. 347-838-420,
347-838-420. Shawnee? I'm right here with you, man.
I mean, we can move on to the next topic. Let's talk about, so we've done strict scrutiny and we talked about standing.
Mm-hmm.
For the gentleman who may have had an issue with having lost your license, I want to bring up this issue of the bill of attainder, which the gentleman did an outstanding job discussing what bills of attainder are. And what I would do, if you want case law, and I know he did this a couple weeks ago, go to Cummings versus Missouri. And that's 1867. Let me give everybody a little bit of background. Once the Supreme Court makes a decision, unless that decision has been overturned, that decision stands, Dred Scott. And I want you to consider something. The Cummings versus Missouri definition of bills of attainder, as the gentleman outlined as well, it was established that a bill of attainder is a legislative act which inflicts punishment without a judicial trial. Now, I can't go back and give everybody a civics lesson right now, but we have three branches of government, and they can never be overlapping. They're checks and balance based, fundamentally speaking, of course, in theory. So, essentially, the legislature can say what a crime is, and they can even say what the punishment is for that particular crime, but they can't issue the judgment on whether or not the crime was actually committed at the same time. Now, again, a bill of attainder is a legislative act which inflicts punishment without judicial trial. Now, if the punishment be less than death, the act is termed a bill of pains and penalties. Now, within the meaning of the Constitution, bills of attainder include bills of pains and penalties. Now, these bills, though generally directed against individuals by name, may be directed against the whole class, like, say, a class of people who don't pay child support, a class of people who don't have auto insurance. And they may inflict punishment absolutely or may inflict it conditionally. Now, that's ill. That's unconstitutional because Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, and if you could open up a page, never take my word for it. I will read to you Article 1, Section 10. We may not get to DJ Squid again, which I'm sure is aggravating to a lot of people, which I damn sure will never understand. But let's go back to Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution, and we will read.
Oh, here
I will. You ready?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Nope. And it's called Powers Prohibited of States. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, you know, pirates being able to, the ability of one state or any private entity to capture ships or vessels. You probably want to find out what a vessel is that pertains to you. Coin money, emit bills of credit. So if the state can't emit a bill of credit, then you can't be liable for a state debt. They can't make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt, pass any bill of attainder, the law, or law impairing the obligations of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Okay, and there's other things that they can't do as well. You can read into that as well a little bit further. But you can't issue a bill of attainder. And if those of you who live in the state of Florida, and I'm certain in your own state constitutions, I could probably tell you through comparison because we have to do that, I could show you in your constitution why they can't do that either. Not because Gray Dog said it, not because DJ Squid said it, but because it's a part of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, and it's the supreme law of the land not because I said so, because I couldn't give, well, I guess I do care, because you have to have a set of rules, but because if you go to Article 6 of the United States Constitution, you will learn that if you read the second paragraph, this Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. I am not creative. Shani can write books and poetry and all that stuff. I'm not gifted. I can read. And I will deliver this in a not so hopefully condescending manner, but if you are calling out words because you pronounce the phonetics properly, yet have no comprehension, you are not reading. And let's also clarify that legalese may have different contextual value or may mean something different than what your standard English is. However, if you get into a venue and they use language that you have no comprehension of, before you agree to what you don't know, clarify so that you may know. And that is your right. Okay, and by the way, the Sentinel case for Article 6 is Marbury versus Madison. That should ring a bell to everyone.
You said Marbury? What was that? What was that again?
Marbury versus Madison.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And there you go. Again, not me. Now, it will be argued probably, and some may say a lot of things differently, but I would ask the question, or ask you to ask someone the question, how would it be lawful to take my honestly obtained property without due process when due process is guaranteed unto me via the Constitution? If I'm correct, you purchase your excise tax instrument, making it not just an excise tax instrument, but property. Now, although the state may say, well, it's our property because of the conditions of the contract, you may find it interesting to know, not because I say so, and I would even next week if you ask me again, because I know if I give it to you all, you won't appreciate it, that you can't enter into a contract which at the same time gives away your right. And if anybody says, well, that's not necessarily true, then say, then why is prostitution against the law? If it's an exchange of service, it's an exchange of service. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, in some states, prostitution is not doing
about
this.
It.
There you
mm-hmm.
go.
Don't ask me how I know, anyway.
You said it. 347-838-8420. Now, we have plenty of people online. I'm pretty sure plenty of people called in for the first time. I'm seeing numbers that I haven't seen before.
New.
And, yeah. And I'm not going to say you have to call in, but don't. The only question that's a dumb question is the one that you don't ask. And if there's anything that you may want us to cover that we can, and again, we've already made the disclaimer that we don't give out legal advice. On legal advice, you can attorney get by. However, the law belongs to the people, not because I say so. But if you read, or if you go back to the preamble of the Constitution, you will know that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a perfect union and establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, I've known that since Schoolhouse Rock, back in the early 70s. And there's a much nicer jingle to it, but the foundation of it is what you should all utilize and stand upon. And if you go to the first comma, the We the People of the United States, and stop, and go to the very last comma, you'll come before do ordain establish the Constitution for the United States of America. The other thing in the middle, We the People, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. And I'm quite certain for those of you in the state of Florida, which I know there's plenty of you here now, if you turn your attention to the Florida Constitution, and particularly Article 1 of the Florida Constitution, you will know that all political power is inherent in the people. The enunciation herein of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or impair others retained by the people. You see that? Not DJ Squid, not Greg Doss, not Shawnee, not that guy over there, and not that lady right there. Your rights are inherent. If they're inherent or inherent, meaning coming from the moment that you come from the womb, they're there already. Doesn't that mean that the Constitution can't give you anything? Doesn't that mean that the Constitution only can secure what was already there? And if it doesn't work in that manner, then whose fault is it? Either yours for not standing, or in many cases, there's going to be some corruption possibly, I'm not saying absolutely, of the officials.
We look for everybody else to provide all the information and do it for us, taking ourselves out of the we the people. And we put it on We the Savior Obama, or We the Savior our county elector, or We the Savior what's this other cat name? Jesse Jackson. We the Savior. That's what they I don't care. I'm just gonna say it and cut it like it is, because some people are just that freaking lazy and don't want to take any sort of accountability, forgot about the U.S. Constitution and the first stanza, the first sentence, the first paragraph about We the People. We don't even know it. We don't even read.
Well, I would help them out with, and for those of you all who probably didn't watch the pregame show, the Super Bowl, I will help you with something and tell you that if you go to the Declaration of Independence, for those of you all within the public sphere of things, which I guess it's all of us for the most part, or the majority of us, there is a unanimous declaration of the 13 united lowercase states of America. And it says that when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Okay? And from that, you know that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizations its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And there's plenty more from prudence indeed that would dictate governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable and to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. Now listen, people, if you don't understand that, I could give you a personal dissertation of what that may mean to me. But the most important part of it is that to secure these rights, governments are instituted. If it's securing it, you can only secure that which is already yours. And if you didn't think it was yours, and you find out it is now yours, and you can say it's now mine, they are still to secure it. One other thing I can't give, or no one else can give you as a man, is the fortitude to utilize that which you have.
Amen on that.
And interestingly enough, as Squid is sitting in the cage, you have to tell him that he may not get in here today. Although it's going to be very important, and I know a lot of the women listeners who probably saw the show's description are probably chopping at the bit to get in on this one. But we're going to get in at Squid. We're going to stay to the course. The next topic that I think we need to cover, Shani, would be, I think we've actually done them. Oh, here we go.
What is it? Give me a heads up so I can get the file.
Oath of office and non-immunity. Now listen, guys. If you haven't gotten a crayon, a piece of chalk, stabbed yourself in the finger to bleed so that you may write it, you may want to go get it right now. Because especially for those of you in the state of Florida, and your state has, and for those of you, and I appreciate my listeners around the world, don't take it personally. I just happen to be in the state of Florida, or actually in the Florida Republic. I happen to be here, so I will speak to what I am more deal with on a day-to-day basis beyond the Constitution for the United States and, of course, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, United Nations, of course. So I'll give you all a couple of seconds. Let's go back to Article 6 of the United States Constitution. Let me know when you get there, Shani.
I'm also looking up oath of office and non-immunity for the state of Texas. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is going to be horrible. Let's go. And before, let me do this real quickly while we wait for you all to get there. I'm going to go to Article 3, which is the judicial branch in Section 1. Judicial power. The judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Judicial power, people. Not administrative. Judicial. The judges, both of the Supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall, at stated times, receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office. Wasn't Squid. Wasn't Greg. I just wanted to make sure to let you all know that. Now, I want you to go to Article 4 of the Constitution speaks specifically to the states, S-T-A-T-E-S, whether it's the state of Alabama, Georgia, or even your possible state of confusion. But let's go. Section 1. Full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. And the Congress may, by general laws, prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. Thus, if you do anything lawful in Montana, it is equally lawful once you bring that act as recordable or that judicial process to Florida. That's why if you're married in Montana, you don't have to get remarried in Florida. Now, Florida may have to establish jurisdiction if there is a dissolution proceeding, but the act in and of itself is still in effect. Now, the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in several states. And then it goes to something else. But I want you to go to Section 4 because that's really important. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on of application of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence, meaning states ain't going to start war with each other anymore. Okay, and by the way, Republican. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Republic, read, to do again, to go back, public, people. Going back to the people. Thus, Article 1, Section 1 of the Florida Constitution should make much more sense to you all. The political power, all political power is inherent in the people. Article 6, I want you to go to, Article 6, the third paragraph. The senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of these several states, shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States.
So now we know. No religious test? I know you're not in Texas, but here in Texas, you know, they just voted. I think it was yesterday. Anyway, the commercials, those ads, all they threw out there was like religious tests towards people. I'm just like, wow. They brought up everybody else's religion.
Well, that may be a way to inspire emotion, do whatever it is. There's no religious test as long as it's relative to government. Okay. Now, with that being said, people, that's an oath, right? We know that all of these officers have to take an oath. For those of you in the state of Florida, here we go. If you did not know, you shall now know. To go to Article 2 of the Florida Constitution. And there you go, Article 2, Section 5. You go to Paragraph B, which A is important when it says no person holding any office of annulment under any foreign government or civil office of annulment under the United States or any other state shall hold any office of honor or of annulment under the government of this state. You can't hold two different positions at the same time. No person shall hold at the same time more than one office under the government of the state and of the counties and municipalities therein, except that a notary public or military officer may hold another office, and any officer may be a member of the Constitution Revision Commission, Taxation Reformation Commission, Constitutional Convention, or a statutory body having only advisory power. I just wanted to make sure I read it. But what I want people to know is B. And in your state, there is something that's going to be there that's similar to this. Each state and county officer, before entering upon the duties of their office, shall give bond as required by law and shall swear or affirm, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and of the State of Florida, that I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the State, and that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of whatever the title of office may be, on which I am now about to enter, so help me God. And thereafter shall devote personal attention to the duties of the office and continue in office until a successor qualifies. Let's go down here to Section 8 of Article 2. And a public office is a public trust. The people should have the right to secure and sustain that trust against abuse. And to assure this right, there is a number of things which can that can be done that you can ask for. There you go. Right there, people. Not me. Now, and it's not even a suggestion, but what I would do is if somebody asked me, or if I knew I had to go into a building or before a quote-unquote official, I might ask somewhere, well, where is this guy's oath of office? And maybe say, well, I might want to get a copy of his oath of office and his bond and walk into the venue and say, listen, Cat, here is your oath in the State of Florida. I may say to him, are you familiar with Chapter 876 of the Florida Statute, Criminal Anarchy and Crimes Against Public Order, or actually Criminal Anarchy, Treason, and Other Crimes Against Public Order? And specifically, are you familiar with Chapter 876, Subsection 5, which is called a Public Employee's Oath, which states that all persons who now or hereafter are employed by or who now or hereafter are on the payroll of the state or any of its departments and agencies, subdivisions, counties, cities, school boards, and districts of the free public school system of the state or counties, or institutions of higher learning except candidates for federal office are required to take an oath before any person duly authorized to take acknowledgement of instruments for public record in the state in the following form, and they will say, I, whatever their name is, a citizen of the State of Florida and of the United States of America, and being employed by or an officer of, and a recipient of public funds as such employee or officer, do hereby solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and of the State of Florida. If they work in any of those capacities, they should have one of these. And that oath will be filed with the records of the governing official or the employing governmental agency prior to the approval of any voucher for the payment of salary, expenses, or other compensation. And I would say, before we get started here, and, well, as much as I like to know that you're going to do the right thing, I may want to let you know that if you fail to execute or refuse to execute that oath, there's a discharge for refusal to execute. And 876.06 states quite clearly, no ambiguity whatsoever. If any person required by State Statute 876.05 to 876.10 to take the oath herein, provided for, fails to execute the same, the governing authority under which such person is employed shall cause said person to be immediately discharged and his or her name removed from the payroll, and such person shall not be permitted to receive any payment as an employee or as an officer where he or she was serving. Because it becomes real simple at that point. You're either going to do what you said you're going to do or you're not. But in order for you to invoke that, you need to know what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Now, if there's an issue with that, then you can say, well, let me bring in that government authority and let you know that there's a Florida Statute 876.08, which outlines a penalty for not discharging. Now, any governing authority or person under whom an employee is serving or by whom an employee shall knowingly or carelessly permit such employee to continue in employment after failing to comply with the provisions of State Statute 876.05 and 876.10, shall be guilty of a misdemeanor of the second degree, punishable as provided in Statute 775.082 or Statute 775.083, which amounts to about 60 days, I believe, in jail or something like that, at the most.
I got a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When you, when say a gentleman or even a female goes into the courtroom with that knowledge and information, but yet the judge is just banging their gavel on and wanting to kick you out of the court, I mean, and you're reciting all this information, how does that person who's reciting the information continue to stand there? Because, you know, you're being threatened to be arrested and things of that nature. They want to kick you out of the courtroom and continue the
There's no guarantee that there's not going to be a violation of the law, but do this for me because I don't have it in front of me right now, and I'm a step or two from the computer. Go to United States Code, Title 42, Subsection 1985. Type that up for me.
United States Code, Title 2, what?
United States Code, 42.
Oh, 42.
And then put 42 in 1985, people. USC 42, 1985. And see what comes up.
Okay.
By the way, people, if you're in the state of Florida, go to 876, subsection 19.
Conspiracy to interfere with... Huh?
Conspiracy to interfere with what?
With civil rights.
Okay, I believe you go like right around, I think it's the second paragraph. What do you read that for us?
Obstructing justice, intimidating party witnesses or juror.
Stop that. Go back again.
Huh?
Read that again.
Depriving person, obstructing justice, intimidating party witness or juror.
Stop. Go back again.
Obstructing justice, intimidating party witness.
Okay. Now, you can go ahead now.
Or juror. If two or more persons in the state or territory conspire to deter intimidation or threat any party or witness in any court of the United States.
Stop. Do that again.
If two or more persons in any state or territory conspire to deter by force, intimidation or threat any party or witness in any court of the United States.
Stop. Go back again.
How far you want me to go? If two or more persons in any state or territory conspire to deter by force, intimidation or threat any party or witness in any court.
Okay, wait a minute. If you're there and you are invoking your right, are you not a party?
Yes, you are a party.
And if you've been sworn, are you not also a witness?
Yes, you're also a witness.
Okay, what was your question again?
No, I just wanted to know because, you gave me other information.
Okay.
Nothing
wrong with asking. I just wanted to let you know that. I didn't look it up. You did, right?
Yeah, I looked it up. Question is a stupid question.
Exactly. And what was beautiful about that is you looked it up for yourself, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I didn't have that memorized. You had it memorized, though.
There you go. See how that works? And if you're in the state of Florida, go to 876-19. Exhibits that intimidate, it shall be unlawful for any person or persons to place or cause to be placed anywhere in the state, any exhibit of any kind whatsoever with the intention of intimidating any person or persons to prevent them from doing any act which is lawful or to cause them to do any act which is unlawful. Now, you could make an argument that the piece of property known as a whatever you were going to call them, Shawnee, the bailiff, whoever, if they do something or if they move, they're actually an exhibit, especially if their presence is not really necessary. If you're there to maintain order, you're there to maintain order. Once you move away from maintaining order, then what have you done? You become, your behavior becomes what's known as an intimidating act.
Mm-hmm.
They argue, maybe there's some other justification somewhere else. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. Press the number 1 if you have any questions, and hopefully we can answer them. But as we see, we've covered quite a bit, right, Shawnee?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me make sure I cover for those who don't know, let me finish covering this, the scope of what was going on with the original oath of office. The provisions of 876.05-10 shall apply to all employees and elected officers of the state, including the governor and constitutional officers, and all employees and elected officers of all cities, towns, counties, and political subdivisions, including the educational system. This act shall take precedence over all laws relating to merit and of civil service law. So essentially, if you screw up on the last day of your 29th year with 11 months and 28 days, you got to get gone. And by the way, people, once you get there and we get to that particular point, you can always say, well, let me ask you a question, Mr. Public Official. Did you mean what you said when you took the oath? And how many answers can they give you, Johnny?
They can only give you one. They're supposed to give you one.
Right, but how many possible answers are there?
Two.
Okay. And if one of those, if that answer is yes, then you hold them to it, right?
Exactly.
And the answer happens to be no, you say, well, then you know you just violated Statute 876.10, which states that that's a false oath and penalty. If any person required by the provisions of State Statute 876.05 to 876.10 to execute the oath herein, required to execute such oath, and it is subsequently proven that at the time of the execution of said oath, said individual is guilty of making a false statement of said oath, he or she shall be guilty of perjury. Chapter 876 of the Florida Statutes. And you say, well, if you say, well, Greg, I thought you said statutes don't really matter when they come up against the law. Well, statutes are what the legislature uses in order to control the commerce, or, I'm sorry, the business
with
of the
government.
The business of government. And by the way, the statute was presumably implemented to benefit the people. However, if that statute in any way, shape, fashion, or form violates or comes in contact with the Constitution, then as you understood in strict scrutiny, the state's compelling burden is to show that law, which they passed through statute, was necessary to facilitate the maximum state interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. And I tell everybody to do this. If you ever have a hard time understanding the difference between statute and law, if you're in your home, grab a pen, something with a little bit of weight, and say go grab one of your shoes. Hey, Sean, in your case, grab that bottle of liquor.
Shut up. Why you got to put me on blast?
Well, hey, I'm just trying to be helpful. Now, people,
all right, buddy.
They have different weights, like statutes mm-hmm. cover different things. But there's a thing called the law of gravity. Now, the law of gravity states that objects will fall at roughly 32 feet per second. stand over a bed or over something soft if you have a bottle of liquor like Shiny, but if you have your optics, even if it's a bowling ball in a pen, if you hold them at the exact same height and release them at the exact same time, you will find that they hit the ground at the exact same time, with probably a slight exception for the mass of one. And you'll say, well, damn, how is that possible? Because despite the weight of the statutes, when applied to the law takes over. Thus, rendering the statutes void. You're welcome. 347-838-8420. 347-838-8420. We've covered quite a bit here today, haven't we, Shiny?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, people, if you ever get into a situation where you need something, and it doesn't matter whether it's the state of Florida or the United States, you have the right to any public record. And let's see. Yeah, y'all, many of you may know about the Freedom of Information Act. The state of Florida, uh-huh, Chapter 119 of the Florida statute. And I think it's
Section 14 or what? What'd you say?
No, the Florida statute is Chapter 119 of the Florida statute. And the United States has a code that says that you can pretty much acquire any set of public records that you would like. And I think, see if I can find that real quick, what that is. That's not it. This one. I don't have it. Just do a simple query and you'll find out there's a statute that essentially allows you to have anything that you want relative to a public record. Because why is that? It's a public record. If somebody else out there has it offhand, I don't know what I deal with. I have it somewhere. But there's a code for public records requests or an ability to access the public records in the state of Florida, Chapter 119. And also just do look up the Sunshine Law in the state of Florida, and you'll be well covered by that one. But don't forget, you pay for it, thus it's yours. Is there anything else that I was supposed to cover, Shani?
No.
You sure? Anybody else out there that's going to say 347-838-8420? Press the number 1. Essentially, almost anything before we bring Squid in, because, you know, when he gets here, things tend to fall apart. You know, I wanted to say this. I wanted to talk about essentially contracts, people. And the part of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Peripheral information.
Oh, peripheral information.
Peripheral information
is, in as much as I've... Well, we've covered information, which, by the way, I'm not an attorney. I don't give legal advice. What I do is, as any of you can, should I study law and tell people what I've learned and how I've gathered the information. And some of you listening, and this may be your first time, you now have a understanding, in some cases, in many, an overstanding of how I gather the information. I don't give any information and advice to apply to a specific case, but it's general information regarding the law, which, by the way, belongs to the people. And you have the right to utilize it. And, by the way, won't you, for homework, find out if you can actually license the right people. And please use the information for educational purposes only. The reason that some of the information may appear to some of you to just flow easily is because within the course of gathering different information for different situations for me personally, or just generally to learn, because we've all taken history, we've all taken some sort of government class, I should say we all, most of us have.
Uh-huh.
once you gather one body of information, you should not just discard it. The peripheral information, meaning, well, what about one thing? I can say, well, Article 1, Section 10 states can be no law passed by an obligation of contract. But at the same time, I can say, but according to the Florida Rules of Civil Procedure 1.130, which I'm about to cover right now, relative to a contract and a civil issue, which you'll like this right here, Sean, he says that you have to attach a copy of the cause of action and the exhibits. Hint, hint. If you're bringing a civil action, child support against me, the Florida Rules of Civil Procedure 1.130, which govern you bringing the action in state agency, says that all bonds, notes, bills of exchange, contract, accounts, or documents upon which an action may be brought or defense made, or a copy thereof, or a copy of the portions thereof material to the pleading, and that doesn't mean material as in, like, some shit you sow, but things that matter, shall be incorporated in or attached to the pleading, and no paper shall be unnecessarily annexed as exhibits. The pleading shall contain no unnecessary recitals of deeds, documents, contracts, or other instruments.
Oh.
Pretty clear, huh, Sean?
Uh-huh.
So if you think I owe you, I'm only asking you, show me. See, it's not my desire to not pay a debt which I lawfully owe, but if you're the state, can you actually have me indebted? If you can't emit a bill of credit, then how can you have me indebted? And if you say I owe you, bring it forward and show me. Because if you don't do that, that means you're uttering a fraudulent document, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if you don't give me what you claim I owe, then I owe nothing. May want to even ask for a wet ink signature. I'm going to help you guys. And hopefully 347-8420 before we bring this other guy in to get us out of here. I'm going to read one of my favorite ever case law. And not because, or I should say that the holding. And it says,
what is
Von Hoffman versus the City of Quincy. This is the holding, 1866. It says that nothing can be more material to the obligation than the means of enforcement. Without the remedy, the contract may, indeed, in the sense of the law, be said not to exist, and its obligation to fall within the class of those moral and social duties which depend for their fulfillment wholly upon the will of the individual. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Of course, I threw that in there. In fact, why don't y'all say, snap back or clap back or whatever you say. I forgot what it was in Black on Black Rhyme. You want me to start all over again? Nothing can be more material to the obligation than the means of enforcement. Without the remedy, the contract may indeed, in the sense of the law, be said not to exist, and its obligation to fall within the class of those moral and social duties which depend for their fulfillment wholly upon the will of the individual. The ideas of validity and remedy are inseparable. Both are parts of the obligation which is guaranteed by the Constitution against invasion. See, the obligation of a contract is the law which binds the parties to perform their agreement. Thus, if there's no contract, there's no issue. Y'all me. We want to get in there and tell a goddamn story.
What happened was, Your Honor, what happened, see?
Yeah, you know what I mean, man? I do for my, you know what I'm saying? Feel me? Feel me? I feel like
pulling up their pants.
Feel me? But you ain't got no contract. And you don't got no sense, though. you haven't moved, you haven't shown anything, so we're going to do this anyway. Then what are you going to do? See, I don't want you to believe people, me, because I'm not really one to be believed. Because if you believe me, believe the next cat out there. And I also don't want you to think that you can go in there and spit a couple words, even though you can do what's called an oral notice motion and put it on the record. But if you can't facilitate it because it comes through you and flows through you like the force, they're going to force your ass up out of there. And by the way, that was just the camp morality. Go ahead.
No, I was just reading this case law, and it says, era of the Circuit Court of the United States for the Southern District of Illinois. This is Von Hoffman versus City of Quincy. Pretty good stuff here.
Takes effort, people. But you also have to walk, if you're for the gentleman, walk as a man. For the ladies, you have to be a woman. Then you might want to connect with your creator. And for those of you who profess to be Christians, I'm not going to even get too deeply into this with you all, but I thought you could serve two masters. What did I say?
I'm just holding my tongue. I'm not gonna be the amen peanut gallery choir and start shouting up what the idols are. I'm just gonna sit here and be quiet, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
I wanted to put that out there because, you know, I don't call out people, but there have been several posts, and, you know, I, thanks to you and Dean, I created this Facebook thing, and I see many discussions that seem to be mired with the inundation or inoculation of silliness and foolishness. And people many times speak to what they think. And I believe I said, when you're finished telling me what you think, I'll tell you why you're wrong. Not because of my doing, by the way. Because despite the fact that I've been called a demon and the devil, I haven't been here before. The energy may have been around here, but I don't think within this particular meat suit. The reality of it is I don't make up anything. I don't make the rules. I read them. And for the brothers out there and for the ladies out there who may have certain issues, get together, network, fellowship with others, and try to be more, not less, than what they've told you you should be.
Not try to be more than what they told you to be. Because I'm getting tired of people saying, try. I'm going to try to do this. I'm trying to do that. I'm giving my business. I'm going to try to give my business. That just
be
means
more.
You're setting yourself
be.
Up. Every time somebody says they try, they're setting themselves up to fail, so they become lazy. So scratch the try in your vocabulary completely and say, I am doing or I am being more. Period. And that's the real Shawnee coming out. Well, I'm real Shawnee all the time.
Be more, the Northwest Gate, and not left.
And left.
Listen. Hey, listen, people. I see plenty here, and I'm going to give you a chance before I leave. The squid is jangling the cage back there, and I don't want him to come in and stab me in the neck. If you have any questions or any thoughts, or you may feel apprehensive about asking a question on air, you can call or go to gregdoss.com and go to the contact information. You can get in touch with somebody at Greg Doss or go to gregdoss@gregdoss.com, and they will either consult or there's ways to get services or get some help. And what I want you all to also give consideration to is spending the same amount of time that you spend listening to one or two of those songs that so many people seem to like so much, if you take the time to study for that same amount of time, you will find that you do much better.
Hey, I got a suggestion. What if they listen to the music and read at the same time? Our minds are that powerful. Turn on some music and read. You'll grasp it better. even if it's just instrumental, you'll really grasp it.
Oh, so y'all have to do the listening. Hey, listen, I'm going to bring Squid in here. You know, where's Squid's intro? Okay, I see.
I don't know.
Hey, listen, people. Oh, listen, leave me alone, man. But at any rate, I'm getting ready to get out of here as Greg Doss. And listen, it's not about right or wrong. More important, it's about clarity. You never reach resolution. If you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even that dialogue with yourself, take time to hug the person you love and love the person you hug. And I will see you all next week. Squid is on his way in, and I'm thinking, call all the ladies and all. This is going to be an interesting letter that I see that he's getting ready to read. Peace and chicken grease. I'll see y'all next week.
Y'all should buy my CD because I used to sell crack. Y'all should buy my CD because I got shot 3 times at a 3-9 and all that, see? There's a market for niggas. There's a market for niggas that target figures that purchase $100,000 jewelry. And $200,000 automobiles don't fool me. I know pain when I see it. And he would probably give it all away if he hadn't signed his life away just to realize that $1 million was a small price for them to pay for his dignity. And I suppose if I earned $100,000 a show that had already been spent on security, entourage, groupies, and blow, it wouldn't be so sweet. And I hope Dead President Talib Kweli realized that it's not that black people don't like positivity. It's simply that we often don't have the disposable income to purchase tons of CDs. But little rich white kids buy CDs 10 at a time. And the more ignorant the nigga, the more they get to piss off their mom. So if the song calls his mother or sister a bitch or says he's willing to kill his brother in order to get rich, it just makes it even better. The bigger the monkey, the bigger the money. Just throw cash at her. Watch her take off her dress. Just throw cash at him. Watch him expose his chest. Somewhere, y'all, right now there's a prostitute sniffing blow in order to take her mind off of how she earns her living. Somewhere, y'all, right now there's a rapper sniffing blow in order to take his mind off of how he earns his living. But there's a market for niggas. And spoken word is the shit. But poems don't buy big homes and poems don't light up wrists. And it might be nice to make all y'all jealous of my bank account. But what's more important is that my mother's respect is priceless. And it used to be back in the days you could cover your face with black face and red lipstick. And black people would hate you, but you would surely get rich. Just take a picture poking out your lips eating watermelon. That would guarantee your show was selling. But nowadays, if you're effectively rapping about gun clapping other black men, say no more, nigga. You platinum. With half a dozen racist billionaires willing to back him. Y'all tell me how that's any different than back then. The more he shows his jaws, the more he gets applause. And if he's willing to play the role of society's savage, then society will make him a star. Because there's a market for niggas. Just write some bullshit. There's money to be made in convincing black people that Jill Scott does not exist. Because if a young girl knows she's golden, she won't allow herself to be called no bitch. And it's only common sense that if you take away her self-confidence, she'll believe that dropping it like it's hot for a soldier is an accomplishment. And if it'll increase a young man's chances of going to jail, they'll promote it. I guarantee everybody right now, $1,000, your record is sale as long as it sounds like Willie Lynch wrote it. Just focus on being a stereotype, like you wake up every morning just dying to fight, just snapping pictures of stacking riches and clapping triggers and smacking bitches. You want to get this started? Fuck your pride, nigga. Just act retarded. You think I'm playing? As long as white folk got money, there's a market for niggas.
Is it true?
Don't ask me about my business.
No!
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This guy's methodical, factual, worst of all, patient.
That doesn't make him Yoda.
Maybe you should check in here for a few days. You can't handle our things.
Okay, so what do you call yourself? Eh? Como se llama?
Antonio Montana. And you? What you call yourself?
This is DJ Squid, and
I'm coming out.
Johnny, what's wrong with my damn intro?
I don't know. Y'all, why do you guys always blame the female? That's why y'all keep me around, so you can blame it on me instead of looking at yourself. Whatever.
I'm blaming it on you. I don't know about no females. I just want to ask what's wrong with my damn thing. I didn't blame it on anybody. I just asked you what's wrong with my goddamn intro.
I don't know. Thought you was working on that today, man.
I didn't think I had to work on something that was already done well.
Ah.
Shit. Anyway, goddamn it, welcome to the DJ Squid Show. I'm your host, DJ Squid. I'm glad that old goddamn nice, damn old educated-ass cats. I'm finally getting up out of here. Hey, listen, 347-838-8420, call into the show. Hey, listen, there's only one topic that we're going to discuss today, and only because I really don't have that much time to deal with you people. I got other things to do, like nothing. But I read a letter that was posted on Facebook, and I'm forced to ask this question. This is like an entire bow and arrow topic. Who hates the so-called black woman more? Is it themselves or everyone else? And
I
want to
see
why.
This freaking letter.
Oh, the letter is posted on, if you go to Greg Square Doss, you'll see it's right there. It's posted.
Okay.
There you go right there. Read it.
Thank you, Congress.
There you go. In fact, it'd be nice if you read it because it's written by a lady. But let me go ahead and get this diatribe started. I know it's a pretty sophisticated word for some of y'all. We'll get a goddamn dictionary any fucking way. Listen, I'm going to tell you what I saw today. Now, I was minding my own business in the store. I'm not going to tell you what store. Well, yeah, I will. It ain't like we all don't know it's the biggest corporate monster in the world, who I hate tremendously, but the prices are what they are. I saw more women descended from the continent of Africa with some shit in their head that I know didn't come from their goddamn scalp. I saw more fat chicks, and yeah, y'all, I'm shallow. Hey, listen, now that you breathing all goddamn heavy before, probably do some motherfucking shit up, put in some runs, some shit. There wouldn't be that heavy breathing around here. I want to know, when did it become so acceptable to look like hell and then to feel okay about it?
Huh?
It don't take a whole hell of a lot not to eat everything in sight.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't take a whole hell of a lot to let your own damn hair grow out your head and not spray paint it purple. I saw a chick with some pink fucking hair today. Pink. And I'm sitting there looking at this bullshit like, wait a minute. Now this motherfucker right here, if you turn off the light, would disappear. But her hair is pink.
Why are you talking about my hair, though? Why are you talking about my hair?
I'm just wondering. And you know, and granted, I'm kind of old. You know what I mean? I just didn't think I was that old. How do you hate yourself that much that you can't stand what you came with, but somebody should accept you for being that shit?
Hey.
Wait. I can't lie to you about my intentions, but you can lie to me about your fucking head. I can't lie to you about my intentions, but you can lie to me about you keep it real.
Keep it 100.
Half these motherfuckers can't count to 100. How you gonna keep it there?
Hey, but see, I got that $100 bill sign on my tooth. And go.
So let me get into this letter, though. You know what I mean? And this letter, listen, I saw this letter on Facebook because somebody else posted it. And I said to myself, I'll be damned. I agree. It's the kind of thing that guys say, and women get to you women bashing all the time. Well, I can't bash your ass if you ain't doing that bullshit. But this is written by a lady. Do you want to read it, Shawnee, or you want me to read it?
No, let's go. Go ahead.
Right.
Oh, she's a writer. I'm researching the lady.
She's a writer. Okay,
heck,
here we go.
Yeah.
I don't know what she do, but here we go. She says the black woman, that's another interesting thing, but the black woman of today has totally disregarded her femininity. And I hate reading a woman's letter, but here we go. She says, we have, however,
here, I'll read it.
There we go. Thank you, Shawnee.
I'll read it. Goodness gracious. Let me put my glasses back on. The black woman of today has totally disregarded her femininity. We have, however, embraced whoredom. We won't brag about being a wife, but we will surely boast about being a whore. We have become your mistresses, your side chicks, your jump offs, your whores. We memorize lyrics to songs about it. We look to the glamorized whore to be the best whore we could be. Sometimes our guidance comes from the madam in our house, a.k.a. the mother. Ooh. We won't exchange favorite recipes, as in cooking, for our families, making sure they are getting the best food our hands, but we will exchange, we will exchange sordid tales of our sexcapades. We will tell you what position produced the most positive results. We are very crude in our language, very sexually aggressive, but use words like sexually liberated to try to make being a whore more palatable. We won't let you inside our minds, but it takes no effort for you to go between our thighs. The most sexually charged songs become our anthems and our mantras. We cheer on Olivia Pope and Scandal, and we root for Mary Jane and Being Mary Jane because they represent our whorish role models. They are us, and we are them. If they win, then all whores can win. I find it interesting that when I speak of the black woman's sexual behavior, I'm often met with the, well, white women do it too. So you don't mind when our filth is compared with hers, but if the topic is brought up for what white women, But if the topic is brought up of what white women or other women do in regards to other topics, i.e. submission, then we have a problem. But again, if it relates to our own promiscuity, then we run to them as a defense. Black women, when will we become tired of being a whore? His whore, the white man's whore, anyone's whore. When will we start to love ourselves, our wounds, and the real power that we hold? When will we stop being pleasure receptacles? Wow.
I'm sorry.
I am too. Okay, when will we stop being pleasure receptacles? When will we stop raising generations of whores? Damn. When will we learn that teaching our daughters to shake their behind is not cute? When will we learn that teaching our daughters that he has to pay if he wants to play is grooming them to be a prostitute? Ooh, baby, high five. Transactions aren't necessarily happening on the corner. They are taking place in our bedrooms. We approach you as a whore, state or fee, whether it be our rent or car payment. Hell, sometimes we specialize in a lot of pro bono work. Didn't have the nerve to demand that we be respected. Who respects a whore? Who protects a whore? The only protection required of a whore is a contraceptive. Stimulating a man's body takes no effort, but stimulating his mind, that takes real head game. Step that up. Ooh, she said real head. I like that wordplay.
Real head game. Real head game.
Not,
I like that.
Not pro bono
oh, okay.
work. Yeah, but not pro bono yeah. work, but real head game. You know, she got
there
it. She got it.
There you go.
Step that up.
You know, this is interesting. On the post that accompanied that, you didn't see very many comments. But I bet
that's what I was
going
to look for.
Man, listen, I bet you there were some dogs yelping all over the place when she threw them damn rocks. Now, 347-838-8420, press the number 1, and we'll bring you in if you want to comment on that. Hey, always more me and less of the rest of you all is always a great show. But, you know, I like to tell everybody come in and make a comment. Gosh, Shawnee.
Look, man. I'm waiting to see women discredit her like they did that one young lady in her video that has been going viral on Facebook. I can't remember her name, but all these women were just dissing her left and right when she was telling the truth.
Amen.
I want to see if other women are dumb. Hey.
Oh. I'm sorry. The hell with it?
No, I'm so sorry.
No, I think we got a caller, don't we?
Do we? I don't know. I'm still reading. My bad. All right, this is Smitty. Smitty,
no,
what's going on, sir? What's going on, Smitty? You're lying on me.
Oh, how y'all doing? I was just doing some work here in the office. What's going on, people?
Not much.
You ain't got a job. What's going on, Smith?
Hey, that's all doing my homework at work. But anyway, and a lot of times with that stuff is, I'd rather women talk about that stuff with each other and call each other out on it. And the problem is that they don't want truth. And what's happening is a lot of these black men aren't even bothered talking to them anymore. You know what a lot of these black men are doing? Just not dating them or fucking them or doing whatever. Just don't just walk by and leave them be. If you want to be like that, go ahead. You want, hey, it's your bed, you're going to lie in it. And these men may find a more cooperative black woman who got his head on straight or woman of the race. It's just the way it is. Why fight with someone like that? If they don't want to listen, this is what happens. They get mad when a man says something. Then they get mad when a black woman says something. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want the truth. They don't want help. They want to be smacked to the same bullshit they doing.
Uh-huh.
And so my thing is, let them be.
Yeah, but my question to you, Smitty, is who hates them more, us? Or I should say, who hates them more? Women, do they hate themselves that much? Let me tell you something now. For those of you who don't know who Umar Johnson is, I'm getting ready to upload his. He makes a pretty interesting statement relative to why so many women are fat as hell. And of course, I didn't inspire him to. No, but listen, this is what Umar was saying. And it goes into a lot of other things as well. He said that essentially something about when people eat, the food kind of like satisfies essentially a dysfunctionalism. I'm going to look for...
Yes, why are you saying that? Yes, and the reason why I grunt and groan whenever these guys talk about fat women is because, yes, I am fat by their standards. You know, they like a size zero, and I'm definitely not a size zero. I'm an 18. But the reason why I often eat is because I am suppressing or holding back or fighting back an emotion that I don't want to deal with because I am not allowing it to come out and speak. So what do? I will grab a piece of cheesecake and shut it up. You can laugh all you want to, but I'm telling you the truth. We are emotional eaters.
But listen, I'm not doubting that. I didn't mean that.
It's funny, but it's also sad because we don't have people that will listen to us. You know, and that's the part that really ticks me off. Not just as myself. That's why I work so hard with what I do. And I always say my door is open because in those state of mind or that mindset, we want somebody to listen to us. And when a brother, you over here laughing, but when a brother is over there laughing, when a brother is over there talking about how fat you are, when a brother is over there doing this, that, and the other, or when you got your homegirls beating you up and you don't have anything to turn to except for that nice big ass fat steak right there that is going to make me feel good. I'm going to regret it after I eat it, and then after I eat it and I regret it, I'm going to go ahead and give me some ice cream so I can suppress that feeling, and then you know what? I feel bad again. My stomach hurts, but you know what? I'm still hurting, and I don't want to cry, so damn it, let me go make a cake. While I'm making a cake, let me eat a sandwich. Fuck a sandwich. Let me get a burger. Fuck a burger. I'm going to get some fries with that shit and a shake, and then I'm going to eat that ice cream and some bacon. Yes, but see, we don't just do it as women. We don't just do it with food. We freaking do it with shopping. We do it with sleeping with men.
He said that seriously, and it's that negative. He said that, and I'm gonna upload the file. So those of you all, if you get ready to go into overtime, those of you all who are already on, you're okay. If you want to listen to the overtime, I'm getting ready to cut up out of here because I've heard it. But he broke it down so well. And really what it did was it made me actually sympathize with some of the big girls until I saw that goddamn pink and yellow hair. But that, I guess, is another pacifying of a, or an attempt to pacify or satiate a pain. Because I never drew the correlation. Because, I'm a guy. And I'm a guy. And really, I'm not that goddamn sensitive, to be quite honest.
I know
you're the other camp might be. I give a fuck. But
it becomes an addiction.
There you go. And that's why it's called a thing. Right. So
what becomes an addiction.
But there's so many other things that are addicting. And I was one, I said, damn, because, you know, I came up in the 80s. I'm going to be honest. I was telling my ladies, I said, you know, back in the 80s, y'all were kind of fine, just in general. Uh-huh. Women, even women in their 30s, if there's anybody who's in their 40s, like, you know, I'm 46 today, thanks, Mom and Dad. But you'll notice the women were built differently then than they are now. And don't just tell me, well, it's the food they eat and everything else. No, there is something else. And why aren't, well, you know, you see certain European women in the weight room working out. You know, you normally don't see one of my sisters in there until that shit is looking like a damn widescreen plasma TV.
Come December.
Yes. And it's not healthy. And not only is it not healthy, they also
allow
that.
And they know that. If you've never been addicted. But if you've never been an addict, you wouldn't understand. Which is, you know, I don't know if you've ever been a drug. If you've ever been an alcoholic, okay, so you won't understand. You're not a smoker. You won't understand.
Nope.
After a while, it becomes something that's a necessity.
But
you know, you don't, want to hear.
I felt better. Well, I used to feel better climbing in between some draws. I was addicted to sex.
Yeah,
or
you were addicted to sex.
I was addicted to the conquest, not the sex, the conquest.
Yeah. You were addicted to that nut. I mean, honestly, that's when guys are out there having sex, really, they're
right.
Addicted to the
feeling
of nothing.
I don't feel bad that you did that. No, because it didn't really matter where I got it, as long as she wasn't fat. You're right.
But it goes back to your main question, Greg. The question is, do black women hate themselves more? We hate ourselves. We can't stand ourselves. And to hear brothers talk about it makes it even worse. We don't have anyone to turn to.
Well, here's something else I wanted to pose, and don't forget we're going to overtime. I wonder if the guy, to include the pastor or whoever else are in these places, who don't speak to those issues, it's not as if you don't see a chick walking in looking like a billboard with paint and ink and stuff all over. You can't tell. What is it that has made us go silent in the face of some real bullshit?
Oh, the pastors, I can tell you that. When I was going to church, all the women up there were big. But you know what pastors would say? Ooh, sister so-and-so, you sure do know how to fry that chicken. Ooh, can you make some of that chicken? Ooh, sister so-and-so, can you make that upside-down pineapple cake? Ooh, that was so good. So that basically what he's doing, he's beefing her up so she can come back and give us some more money. He got to make her feel good about something. He ain't helping or counseling. Because he is supposed to be a counselor, but he's not doing it. And then we get into those offices with the preacher, and they say, "Oh, you don't need a therapist. A therapist is the devil's work. What you need is the Lord, and the Lord will heal you. Just lay it on the table and put your titty in my mouth. Yes, Lord, hallelujah." They do a crap like that, and we don't want to go to. Therapy. Dee and I were just talking about therapy on the show last night. It's okay to go to a therapist. We don't want to believe that we are sick because if somebody says we're sick, oh, they get one of them crazy checks. Girl, I told you she was crazy. You know, everybody is guilty of these issues, all of us. And sometimes, I was watching Dr. Phil and he said something, and normally I can't stand the show, but this show was interesting. He said, you can't change what you don't acknowledge.
Nope. I agree.
And if we don't acknowledge the issues that are going on with us as black women,
nothing's going to change. We'll continue to see the cycles. We'll continue to see the big women in the pink hair and the hoes and the prostitutes who claim they really hoes and prostitutes, but they got their bills paid by laying down spread eagle.
Yeah, and all these so-called strippers, the chicks stripping to pay for tuition. Too many of y'all too goddamn dumb to be going to college, so I ain't buying this, all right? So, and we got too many dumbass kids, too. Hey, listen, people, I'm going to get ready to play Umar as we roll up out of here. Hey, for everybody who sent Greg or DJ Squid a happy birthday, I appreciate you considering me. And, again, I will say that any mistake I made in life is mine. I knew an alternative along the way. My parents did an outstanding job, and I'm very grateful to have had the two that I had. Hey, listen, people, sometimes it's not about right or wrong. More importantly, it's about clarity. But you never reach resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even if that dialogue is with the person in the mirror. Take time to hug the person you love and love the person you hug. On behalf of Shani, Ms. Fenderson, Sean McDowell, the author of Shoot You Down When You're Going to Get Up, The Man Mindset, GregDoss.com. Strive to be more, not less. Listen to Brother Umar Johnson, and I will see you all next week, or hopefully talk to you all next week, and see some of y'all later on. I'm out of here.
Thanks.
Hotep fam, it's your brother Che Black, back with the second part of my discussion with Dr. Umar Johnson. In part two, you hear the brother discuss ADHD and the effects of the psychotropic drugs that they're prescribing to our children and the controversy behind child vaccinations. So listen up. Peace.
As a psychologist, your thoughts on ADHD? Like, it seems like every other kid is being diagnosed with ADHD these days. What's your thoughts about that?
Money. Neglect. Miseducation. The drug companies that push and have influenced the American Psychiatric Association to adopt ADHD, conduct disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, and disruptive behavior disorder have a financial stake in seeing black boys misdiagnosed with these disorders. They make $45 billion a year off Wall Street drugging our boys up like this. The drugs that they give our boys are identical to the illegal drugs that are sold in the black community. So you mean to tell me a black man sells crack cocaine on the corner, he's going to go to jail for 5 years, but you can give baby crack in the form of Ritalin to a black boy in the school and nobody goes to jail? Something's wrong with that. There's no difference between an illegal drug and a legal drug. They both destroy life and they both create addictions. Every time you give a black boy a psychostimulant, you are killing his brain cells. You are affecting his kidney and his liver, through which all drugs are metastasized. And that's why we're seeing so many black people have to go to dialysis. It ain't because they had too much sugar. It's because they had too many drugs. The drugs are metastasizing the liver and kidney, and it's killing our livers and our kidneys. And we got black men, black women, black children who are on drugs for the greater part of their life, and it's killing their organs. But the doctor ain't telling them that because it's all about Wall Street profit. Every psychotropic drug company publicly trades on Wall Street. But it gets deeper than that. When our children are born, what do we give them? We give them baby formula. Isomil, Similac. Did you know that one of the leading baby formulas is made by the same company that makes Depakote, one of the most powerful antipsychotic drugs in America? You mean to tell me you're going to give your newborn baby milk that's made by a psychotropic drug company? And this is what we're doing in our community. And we wonder why our kids are running around crazy. ADHD does not really stand for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It really stands for the absence of your daddy from the home disorder. The absence of discipline from the home disorder. 75% of black boys diagnosed with one of the disruptive behavior disorders don't have a father figure in their life. And for the ones who have a father figure in their life, there's no discipline in their life. When you have discipline, you don't need drugs. You only need drugs when there's no discipline. And when you have most of our sons being raised by single-parent mothers with no help from the men in the community, there's no discipline necessitating the need for drugs in the school. There is no more ADD. Attention deficit disorder was done away with. You only have ADHD. Why did they do away with ADD? Because there's no drug that can make you pay attention. The drug companies was losing money. So they got the American Psychiatric Association to scratch ADD from the DSM and pick up ADHD. So now everybody's ADHD, and everybody can be given drugs. And unfortunately, parents are putting the kids on drugs because they are not aware of the side effects. They don't know that these things cause instant death. They don't know that these things cause tic disorder, schizophrenia, hallucinations, diabetes, heart disease, brain cancer. They don't know that it kills brain cells on contact. And most importantly, they don't know that when you take these drugs, it affects your son's ability to produce healthy semen in his testicles, which means that when that black boy is old enough to have children and take a wife and get married, he won't even be able to have kids because his mother let the white man put him on drugs so he can sit still long enough to be miseducated.
There's a big controversy right now dealing with vaccinations.
There have been researchers at the Food and Drug Administration who have leaked information that conclusively proves that the cause of autism in black children is vaccinations. If we look at the Amish people of western Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, you'll find that there's almost no autism amongst those white Amish children. You want to know why? Because their children aren't vaccinated. We can go to Africa, and even amongst our African brothers and sisters on the continent, you'll find that there's almost no incidence of autism in African children, so-called poor babies. You want to know why? Because they're not inoculated with these American drugs. Our problem is we fail to realize that the entire immunization movement in America is based on protecting white children from diseases to which their genotype was prone. Immunization wasn't developed to save black life. We were slaves. It was developed to save white life. The problem is you got black people giving melanated babies medications that are designed for babies with recessive gene traits. If I ain't got cancer, what am I taking cancer drugs for? If I'm not diabetic, what am I taking sugar and insulin for? If black people are not recessive, why in the hell are they giving their dominant gene babies drugs designed for white people? We don't need bird flu shots. We don't need swine flu shots. We don't need hepatitis shots. We don't need nothing that they give us. Remember this. In a world of white supremacy, anything and everything will be used to exterminate you. Black people fail to realize this. What you eat, the drugs you take, the schools your kids go to, the music you listen to, the books you read, in a white supremacist society, anything given to you by the system can and will be used to destroy you and your children. Keep them off the drugs. Keep them away from the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist has become the new father in the black community. Okay? No need for immunizations and no need for drugs. They're killing us through needles and pills. We don't need none of them.
Man, I could probably sit here all night and pick your brain, brother. But I know you got the lecture coming up on the 5th of February. You know, what's that about?
For Sisters Only, Relationships and Dating, it's basically going to be a discussion that I'm going to have with black women where I'm going to share a lot of my experiences as a child therapist. Having worked with couples and also having worked with parents, I'm going to share the experience that I have gained in my career as a psychologist with women in an attempt to help them understand men better and to understand themselves a little bit better so they can understand why relationships tend to work or why they tend to fail. It's going to be an open dialogue. There won't be any blaming or anything like that going on. It's simply going to be a know thyself sort of a workshop where I teach black women the central role that the relationship they had with their biological father, how that impacts the relationship that they have with every other man. Okay, that there's a little bit of your dad in you, or there's a little bit of your dad in the men that you're choosing. So I want to show them how there's certain types of personalities amongst men, and there's certain types of personalities amongst women, and that psychological illness tends to attract each other. Okay, so you have a woman with low self-esteem, she's likely to attract a man with low self-esteem. Okay? She is afraid of being harmed, and he's going to protect her from the harm. Only problem is he's going to become the domestic abuser. So who's going to protect her from him? It was her low self-esteem that attracted her to the brother. It was his low self-esteem that attracted him to her. You see? But it's a psychopathology. It's a relationship. It's a psychologically ill relationship because they're feeding off of each other. And neither one of them are going to be happy because two sick people can't make a happy marriage. We keep trying to do it, but it can't happen. If I have unresolved issues from my past and the sister got unresolved issues from her past and we bring those two sets of mental illness together, we get mental catastrophe, which leads to post-traumatic relationship disorder. because that brother, that sister is going to take the germs of that failed relationship and infect the next relationship. And by that, a lot of brothers chase good men, chase good sisters away. A lot of sisters chase good men away. Why? Because you're looking at this person with the glasses you looked at the old relationship on. Which is why we need a period of healing in between relationships, especially for a black woman, because they are receivers of the male energy. So you can't go from man to man, relationship to relationship, polluting your womb with all those different energies. You need a grace period between relationships. When you don't have a grace period between relationships, that male energy becomes toxic, and it affects your psychological state. And then you are on the verge of depression, nervous breakdown, anxiety, and drug addiction. Why? Because your central addiction is that you are addicted to relationships because you can't stand to be by your damn self. So your real problem is you, not the man. Your real problem is you, not the woman. The problem is we don't learn that until we're older, and then we finally sit down with ourselves and we think and we say, you know what? It really was nothing wrong with none of the people that I met. The problem was me. You can't blame somebody else for you choosing to let them make your life miserable. You cannot blame anybody else for you choosing to let them make your life miserable. You got to take control over your own happiness, and you don't get married to get happy. And I'm going to talk to the sisters about that. Can't no man make you happy. They can support your happiness that you already have, but they can't make you happy, so you got sisters and brothers. Okay, a lot of what I share with the women on February 5th, I'm going to share with the men when we do for brothers only. It's the same thing. It's just from a masculine and a feminine perspective. I know men who are looking for a woman to make them happy. You are miserable, brother. And until you deal with the causes of your misery, your poor relationship with your dad, your hatred for your mother, until you work that out, ain't no sister ever going to be able to support your happiness because you got too many personal issues of your own that you got to work out. You got to work that out first. That relationship that a man has with his mother, that a sister has with a father, is so predictive of how successful they're going to be in every other relationship. And that's what I'm going to talk to about the women. We go on dates, and the first thing a woman want to know is how much money you make, how many kids you got. How about what's the relationship with your mother? How about did you grow up with your father? How about what are your values in life? That's the most important question, not how much money a man got. So those are the type of things that we're going to talk about. I'm not going to talk to the sister because I don't know anything better than my sister. Okay, and I'm not going to necessarily tell them about them because it takes a woman to do that, but I'm going to tell them what they need to know about them in order to be more successful in the relationships with men based on my own research, experience, and expertise.
I definitely feel that.
And that's Saturday, February the 5th, Brownsville Recreation Center, 1555 Linden Boulevard. The event is free. This is about activism, not capitalism. It will start at 3 o'clock Saturday, February the 5th. Part 2 will be Black Male-Female Relationship Policy Seminar. That's going to be at Long Island University, Brooklyn campus, Saturday, February the 27th at 2 o'clock. Part 3 is going to be in Jersey City, New Jersey. It's going to be a Black Male-Female Relationship Debate at the Mary McLeod Bethune Center. So it's going to be three different events, one for sisters, another one for sisters and brothers where we're going to talk about relationship policy, and the third one for brothers and sisters, you know, to get their feelings and stuff off their chest about the opposite sex.
So I hope y'all sisters hear that. It's free. Going down February 5th, Brooklyn. Thank you, Brother Dr.
Thank
Umar
you, brother.
Johnson. It was a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
My big
Thank
brother.
You. We'll be right back.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.